Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Pray that you would be glorified, that you would speak to our hearts, that you'd fill me and empower me. Just use me, Lord, in a mighty way to speak your word and help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, well, as I said, I'm Marty, and it's good to be with y'all tonight. And last time I was here, we talked a little bit about James chapter 1, and we can go ahead and just go back and review that a little bit. James chapter 1 is going to be kind of a kicking off place for us. Because, and I've got some sheets of paper here for you, because really what we're going to be talking about and dealing with is something that's everybody's affected by temptation. That all of us are affected. And so James chapter 1, and when he starts off in verse 1 through 12, he talks to the people and he says, count it all joy when you fall into those various trials, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And so James is really talking to believers. He's not talking to just people that don't know the Lord, but he's talking to the believers, the people that have been scattered abroad for their faith. And so he's talking to them, and he says, count it all joy. And so you can say that trials can either make us bitter or better, right? Because a lot of times we go through trials, we go through hard times, we go through difficult times, and what happens? Those trials, those temptations, those things we go through do what? They end up tearing us up instead of helping. That's right, instead of helping us. You know, and I know y'all guys know that when y'all went through boot camp, or some of y'all maybe went through the more difficult things. I don't know if any of y'all been a SEAL or a Ranger or whatever, but when you go through more difficult training, they're doing number one, what? Trying to see what you're made of. And number two, they're trying to make you into more of the person they want you to be, right? Yeah. And so that's really the purpose of trials in our life that God wants us to understand. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith does what? Produces endurance, right? We know what endurance is. The more you do it, the better you can do it, right? We stand there and shoot a basketball all day and trying to get better at hitting that free throw or that three-pointer or whatever it is. But then, you know, we don't fuss about the sore arm the next day or whatever we're doing. But when hard times come, we fuss about what it makes us go through, right? And so we need to understand that God wants to use those in our life. And he says, so when you go through the trials, don't ask God, basically don't say to God, God, get me out of trial. You can say that, but really what we should say to God is, God, what do you want me to get out of the trial? What do you want me to understand as I go through this hard time, this difficult time? And so he says, ask for wisdom and it'll be given to you, right? So God will give you wisdom if you ask for wisdom. And he says, he's not like over there going, hey, Marty, this is about the 100th time you come to me today. Would you leave me alone? He says he gives it to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, keep on coming back. Keep on asking. And so we come back to him. But then when he gets to chapter 1, verse 13, he begins to talk about that God doesn't tempt us, but each one is drawn away by his own what? Desires and entice, right? Yeah. And so each one of us has an area, a problem area, I would say, that's what I call it, a problem area, a sin area, a temptation area. I don't know what it is. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be depression, it could be bitterness, anger, you know, sad, glad, whatever it is, right? What do they say? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. But it could also be bitter, depressed, and all kinds of things. And so some of us have those problems. It could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be women, it could be whatever, right? Pornography, whatever it is, we have an area of temptation. And God wants us to depend on him instead of falling into those traps that the devil lays for us. And so he says, God doesn't tempt us, but each one is tempted by his own desires and enticed. And literally, there's a hunting picture there and a fishing picture. So, you know, when you go fishing, you got to have the right bait, right? Got to have the right kind of bait, the right hook, the right rod, the whole nine yards, right? Got to go at the right time. And you know what? The devil knows when the right time is to get us. He throws that bait out there and he goes, come on, come on. Come on, come on, get it. Come on, come on. You know you want it. And so when we have something that falls right in our lap, right in front of us at that time where the maddest or the saddest or the gladdest, or, you know, sometimes after a great victory, after we're just like, oh man, everything's wonderful, and we think we're on top of the world, and all of a sudden the devil drops something in our lap we don't even expect at that time, and then it slaps us upside the head, right? And so James chapter 1 says that we're tempted, we're enticed and drawn away. And so you don't catch a mouse with an elephant trap, right? You don't catch an elephant with a little mouse trap. And so he puts that cheese in the trap. And I guess, you know, we always call everything what we call it, hooked or hookers and all these things. But is there a reason? Because where does it come straight from? The Bible. Each one is drawn away and enticed. It means to catch with bait, yeah. To catch, to hook. And so that's what's going on here. And so he says each one's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So think about this, that each one of us, as we think about what's going on in our lives, as we go through those hard and difficult times, you know, it all starts up here, right? I hope y'all understand that. A lot of times it starts here, and then it goes into here. But ultimately, the Bible says to be in control of your mind, right? Because what happens? Let me turn a couple of pages over there to keep your finger in James for just a second. But turn to 2 Corinthians 10 for a second. And I'll give you a verse there, and then I'll give you a verse over in 1 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 5. And he's talking to believers. Now remember, none of this really works if you're not a believer, because that's the reason we keep messing up, the reason we keep falling into the same old traps is because we're not able to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's Ephesians 6:10. The Bible says, yes sir, verses 3 through 5. So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we're in a human body, right? Our weapons are not carnal or fleshly. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing what? Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, right? So what does he say? I'm in the body of flesh, right? You remember what Paul says? Anybody remember 1 Romans 7, Paul says, the things I want to do, what? I don't do, right? Yeah. And the things I don't want to do, I do those. Who shall deliver me from this what? Yeah. Body of death. Yeah. And so he lives in a body of flesh, and his body wants what the body wants, right? It remembers those old days. If we're believers, it remembers the things we used to do. And the body says, you know what? I want to go back and do that again. Yeah. And so our job is, if we're believers, is to say, look, I don't have to fight like the world fights, right? What do? When we just usually succumb, right? We usually fall prey to the temptation, because we're kind of like the shark, you know. The shark, you know, you throw all the stuff in the water and the sharks go crazy, right? What do? That drawn away and enticed, and it says, when desire has conceived, it brings forth sin, and then sin brings forth death. In other words, it starts here in my mind. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a place where you really can't get in and you really can't get out, right? And so that's a stronghold. And so what happens is the devil creates strongholds in our mind. I remember a guy that I was friends with, and I guess he truly wasn't a believer, but he walked, he went to church and did things for years, but he just never conquered his inner demons, right? And so he kept cheating on his wife with prostitutes, and which I didn't understand that, but he kept doing that. And then when he lost her, she divorced him. You know, he didn't want to live, and he wanted to kill himself and all these things. And I spent time with him, and he got past that. But then he got on pills, right? And I was like, you know what? I said, you need to just trust in the Lord. He said, well, I just keep getting anxious every time I try to quit him. I said, well, you think the devil wants you dependent on God or on those pills? And I'm not advocating, you know, if you're taking stuff to quit it, but I am saying that God can put you in such a place that if you are taking things, that he can put us in a place where we don't have to take some of the stuff we used to have. But you'd have to be in a place where you and God convict you to do that, right? But he said, you know, every time I quit, things go crazy. And I said, well, you know what? That is right. It's the devil. And the devil doesn't want you to get off of that. He just wants you to continue to depend on these drugs instead of depending on God. And so he says, our weapons, they're mighty for pulling down strongholds. We got those areas in our mind, those drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, bitterness, anger, whatever it might be, and depression, and we get those things in our mind, and they're hard to break. Those areas in our mind are hard to break. But the Bible says that our weapons in God are mighty to break those strongholds. And he says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing what? Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So what we need to do is all starts here. That, you know, that's why that TV, what are they constantly putting in their mind? Everything they can, right? Yeah. Every year it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And every year they put more cuss words, more sex, more skin, more everything. They put a little bit more of everything on there, because why? Because they're just constantly just breaking down those barriers and getting us in such a place. Well, you know, it's like, well, everybody's doing it, it's okay, right? So that's what they're doing. But they put it on the billboards. You know, it used to be you could just skip the commercials and you'd be in pretty good, the TV shows, you'd be in pretty good shape, right? Yeah. But nowadays, you just have to flip the commercials and turn them off or do something else besides watch those commercials, because they put the worst of the worst of the shows on the commercials, right? And so that's what they're constantly doing, is bombarding us. And so every time we see these things, you know, it stirs up things inside of us, right? And like that shark, you know, once he gets that scent of that blood in the water, what happens? He literally just goes crazy, right? And that's right, he goes in a frenzy. What do? They attack anything and everything around him. And you know, that's the way we get when we get to that place in James where it says, when desire has conceived. That's like, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about it. And the longer I think about it, the better it gets to me, right? Yeah. Now, I don't know if anybody was here, and I told a story about going to the fast food restaurant. And the guy says, well, why don't we go have some lunch and we'll talk. And we were talking about the ministry, and he says, I'll even buy you some lunch. And I'm like, nah, I just ate this not too long ago. I'm okay, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I start smelling all that food in that restaurant, and it smells good. And he sits down across the table from me. He says, sure, you don't want something? I said, nah, it's okay. And I'm sitting across the table from him, about this close to him, and all that food just starts getting to me, and I'm looking at it and thinking about it, looking at it. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, you can just eat, and as soon as you just eat, right, next thing you know, you smell food and you get hungry again. At least I do anyway. And so I'm sitting there looking at it, thinking about it, and after a while, I'm like, you know what? this is ridiculous. So we finally leave, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? He would have bought it for me too. I could have had free lunch, you know. And I turned it down, and it was too late at that point. But he goes to get in his car, and I go pretend I'm getting in my car. And as soon as he drives off, I shut the door and walk back in there. I got to go get me something, right? Couldn't stand it, but that's the process, right? It gets good to you. And if we sit there and think, you know, let those thoughts control us, whether it's depression or anger or whatever it is, what starts here does what? Ultimately, it's going to come out here.
Yeah.
If I get mad at somebody long enough and think about it long enough, what am I going to want to do? I'm going to want to go hurt them, right?
Yeah.
I might just pop them upside the head before I think about it because I done got so mad.
Yeah.
You know, if you get so bitter or so depressed, what might you do? You might want to try to take your life or something, you know, and whatever it is, you know, you're sitting there thinking about something, you see something on the internet, next thing you know, you got to, you know, you're looking more, and next thing you know, you're way gone. You know, whatever it is, the drinking, the thinking about it. We had a guy one time, I was going over this transition center for just guys coming out of prison. And basically, these guys were doing a lot of what y'all are doing. They're having papers signed and things like that. And I hope y'all are not doing what a lot of them were doing. They were there. One guy said, if it's got an A in it, I got to be there. You know, and I hope that you're not here just because you got to get that paper signed. You know, I hope that's not why you're here. I hope you're here to get something out of this program and out of what's going on here, or whoever comes and's teaching the Bible, if they're doing the right job and a good job of it. I pray that that's why you're really here. And so this guy, he began to tell us how every day he would walk by this liquor store. And you could tell, looking at him, he had that red nose, you know. You knew he had been a heavy drinker. You could tell he was a drinker. And this guy, he said, every day I'm walking by this store, he said, man, you got to find another way to go home. You got to go some way else. You keep walking by that store, and you're going to go in there, and you're going to get drunk, and you're going to get locked back up again. Well, sure enough, this guy, he kept walking by, and he got where he'd stop in front of it and look at it. And then finally, one day, he walked in there and bought something. Okay. You know, he was like couple months away from being free. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd done all of his time or was in probation, and he all he had to do was finish this couple of months, be in this work program that he was in, and then he would have been able to go do his thing. Yep. Instead, what does he do? He goes to go serve the rest of his time, and he probably had some more time tacked on to it, because he didn't come in and didn't come back to the place like he was supposed to, and he violated all of that and considered escape and those kind of things when you don't come back, right? And so he just added more misery to his life because he could not avoid that liquor store. Yeah, it was like the guy, he said he walked down the street one day and there was a hole and he fell in it. And the next day he walked down the street, he knew the hole was there, but he fell in it. The next day he went down another street. That's what we're supposed to do, guys. We know the sin's there, and sometimes we deliberately fall into the sin. We fall into that hole because what? Frankly, you know, we know the Bible says sin is fun for a season. But then what happens? It catches up with us, doesn't it?
Right.
It catches up with you. What does the Bible say also? I think it's Numbers. Be sure your sin will find you out. And we got about 100 different ways to say it. Most of them I blocked out of my mind because I can't repeat them anymore since I'm a Christian. But you know, like every dog has his day, whatever you do comes back to you and goes around, comes around.
Yeah.
But the Bible says whatever man sows, he reaps, right? You know, you reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow, right? And we know if we threw one grain of corn in the ground, what would happen? If it only came up with one grain, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd all starve to death. But that's the way sin is. And You know, some of us may be paying for stuff that we did years ago. I know I am. You know, I wasn't always a preacher. I hadn't been a preacher all my life. And when I was in high school and up to, I was about 30, you know, people would have said, told me I was going to be a preacher, I'd have probably told you he was crazy. But, you know, God called me, and he sure changed my life, I can tell you guys. He sure changed my life. You know, and that's the amazing thing about God is he can change any of our lives, right? He can change any of us. And so Paul says here to bring every thought captive, all those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God. You know, people say, well, it's all right, everybody's doing, or, you know, I've known guys, they've been in the jail and they got out, and Dad said, look, if you ever go off with your buddies anymore, you know what's going to happen? I'm not letting you come back. They go off one time, get drunk, get locked back up again, right? All it takes is one time. You know, just one time to you know, sleep with somebody and got something that's incurable, right? You know, I mean, supposedly there's about 40 different incurable sexual diseases out there. You know, somebody said one time, said, well, Grandpa, what did y'all do for safe sex? He said, we used one of these. We got married, right? And the hard thing about it is there's so much temptation out there, but God can help us through all of that. And that's why we've got to cast down every argument and every high thing. Every, you know, people say, oh, well, just come with me one time, or it won't hurt. It's just a little of this, a little of that, or whatever. And we got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because if we don't, guys, what happens? We're in trouble. It doesn't take but one time, right? Just one time. And you sit there and you begin to think about it, and that mind gets carried away. Your imagination can be a wonderful thing, but it can be a dangerous thing, can't it? Yeah. When we let our minds get carried away, that's when sin, desire has conceived, that's that gets good to us, right? I don't know if anybody was here the last time and I talked about the Arctic wolf. I don't know if I talked about that, but they got these beautiful white wolves that they want their fur, and they don't want to mess up the fur. So what I understand is the way they get one of them without messing up their fur, putting them in a trap, or they chew their leg off, or whatever it is, but they take a really nice big knife, you know. And they take that thing, and they stick it in some blood, and they freeze it. And then they keep dipping it in blood, but before they do all that, they get that thing so sharp, it literally, you can touch it, you know, and it'll slice you open, shave you and all that. I mean, y'all know what it's like. You just touch something sometimes, you don't even know it's so sharp, and next thing you know, you're bleeding all over the place, right? Well, that's how sharp they get this knife. And then they take that thing and they clamp it down in the snow like this with the blade up so it won't move. And so that thing's got a nice thick coat of blood on it. So that old Arctic wolf, he smells that blood and he comes along and, you know, he starts licking on that thing, and it's pretty good to him because it's cold. But it's blood, right? And so, minute or so later, next thing you know, what does he hit? That sharp blade. That's right. Now, I know this is hard to take and think about, but literally that's what he does. He sits there, and as soon as his tongue hits that blade the first time, he tastes that cold, that warm, hot blood, and it sends him into a frenzy. And he goes crazy. And he literally kills himself because he's sitting there drinking that blood. And next thing you know, he drops dead on the snow. But he killed himself. But see, the illustration is, guys, that's what we do to ourselves. Because you know what? We're killing ourselves with the way we live and the things we do and the things that we put ourselves through. And those things are surely killing us every day. Those drugs and all the lifestyles and all the things that we do that are not pleasing to God. You know, God didn't give us the Ten Commandments just so he could say, Marty, I don't want you to have any fun. Did y'all know that? He gave us commandments because he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves and everybody around us, right? I mean, think about it. That electric plug over there, I mean, some of y'all probably got kids, grandkids, maybe most of you, maybe all of you. But if your kid or your grandkid wants to stick his finger in that electric socket over there, stick his tongue in it, what you going to do? You're going to stop him, right?
Yep, right?
I mean, you're not going to let him go play out in the middle of the busy highway out there on 378, right? You're not going to let him out there on 1 or 378 or on Highway 26. Say, just go play out in the middle of the street. It's okay. No, you're not going to do that. And that's what God is saying to us, that he doesn't want us to hurt ourselves. And that's why he gave us the Bible and the Ten Commandments and all of those things. I mean, this is, somebody said this is the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. But it's not basic. It's the instructions for everyday living. It's instructions on how to live your life every single day. And if you're not living by it, then you're just hurting yourself and hurting everybody around you. And I know I did it for years, right? And I look back now and I think, wow, had I only trusted Christ when I was younger, had I not done all the things I did that I still sometimes have to pay for, right? Because of the way I lived and just not getting the education I should have and all of those things. And, you know, school was a joke when I was going to school. And, you know, if you showed up, okay. If you didn't show up, whatever. And that's the way it was. It was a joke. And I didn't learn. I didn't learn all those things I should have learned, right? Didn't do all the things I was supposed to do. You know, one lady told me one time, said, "You just been sliding by." I said, "Why don't you reach in that desk over there and give me that book you've been reading about me? Because I've been sliding by. I just been getting by with what I had to, not doing what I needed to, but what I had to, right?" And that's why I said, I hope you're here not just to get your paper signed, but here to get something beyond that. Because if you're not, then you're only hurting yourself and your family or whoever loves you. You know, if nobody else, you think nobody else loves you, and I don't know who you got, but I'm sure there's somebody that loves you. But you know what? God loves you, and he's always there for you. He always, just a prayer away, right? Some guy, he asked me the other day, says, "Does God, I don't feel like God's answering my prayer." I said, "Well, you know what? I said, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you're not a child of the King. You're not a child of God." In a sense, all of us were created by God, right?
Yeah, right.
But we're not children of God unless we ask him to forgive us and save us. Yeah. And at that point, we become children of God. And see, we've been sold that lie that everybody's going to heaven and then we're all okay. And, hey, do whatever you want to, live any way you want to. Because one day, if you did more good than bad, if you're a pretty good person or you get baptized or you take communion or do some kind of crazy stuff, hey, you're going to heaven. But Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, he's got to take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. True discipleship, true Christianity is giving up our desires and following him. And when we do, he gives us back way better than what he took from us. He takes all that nasty, wicked stuff out of our life and he gives us good stuff back. I've seen people get their families back. You know, the Bible says the years that the locusts have eaten, God gives us back. And he can restore things. He can do things that we don't even know about. And he can work mightily in our lives. And it's unbelievable what God will do when you follow him, you know. And you know what? There's going to be hard times. Jesus said, if you follow me, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And what does that mean? When that trials come, that tribulation comes, because he overcame, we can overcome, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't have to be overcome by circumstances. You know, I asked somebody the other day, I said, "How you doing?" They said, "Doing pretty good, considering." Or somebody might say, "Considering the circumstances I'm under." I'm like, "What you doing up under there for?" The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors. And we're supposed to be able to overcome life, overcome difficulties, overcome circumstances, and not be drawn away and enticed and destroyed by the things that happen to us. You know, they say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but usually it kills most people. It destroys most people, right?
That's right.
And I can't even begin to imagine what y'all guys have seen and been through and done, and I don't even begin to imagine that. I can't even begin to imagine how you've been treated and everything else. I just can't even imagine, because I've seen some of that on TV, seen some of it. I've never experienced it firsthand. Know people that been through it, but never experienced it firsthand. But I tell you what, I know that whatever you've been through, whatever's happened to you, wherever you've been treated, whatever's gone on in your life, God can overcome that. He's greater than that, right? That's why Jesus said he was the bread of life, the living water, guys. Because he said, whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever comes to me shall never thirst. In other words, all of us have got an empty spot inside of us. And I don't know, you feel that emptiness. And you don't have to speak up, but if you got an emptiness inside of you, you know what that is? That means you don't have Christ in your life. Because the Bible says without Christ we are not complete. But the Bible says in Colossians 2:10 that we are complete in Him. What does that mean? The moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what happened? They died spiritually. The Holy Spirit left them. The God part of them left them. And that's why we run around like Otis Redding's original guy that sang it, but Mick Jagger made the song famous, I guess. I can't get no satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no, not good English, but it's good theology. Because without Christ, we aren't never satisfied. We are never satisfied. There's a verse in Proverbs, I think it is, says the leech has two names, give and give. And the eyes of a man are never satisfied. But the Bible says that we don't have to live that way if we know Christ. And so when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. And make no mistake, guys, we don't even understand truly the concept of sin, like I said, because the Bible says God is what? Holy, holy, holy. And the concept of sin, the understanding of a sin, is that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, the Bible says in James, I forget what chapter, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it is what?
Sin.
Sin, that's right. So I see somebody, they need help, and I don't help them. Guess what? I just sinned.
Yep, that's right.
I should have got up to bed when the alarm clock went off so I could get to my job on time, and I didn't do it. I sinned. Needed to help a little old lady across the street and didn't do it. I sinned. Now, we know what committing a sin is, right? We say, well, he committed a crime. They did something wrong that was against the written law, right? So all of those are sins, the thoughts. Jesus said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after, he's sinned, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look after a woman, that's that drawn away and enticed, right? When desire has conceived. You look at her, and you look at her again, you look at her again, and then your mind begins to wander. Next thing you know, you're thinking things you have no business thinking about.
Yeah.
About somebody else that, maybe somebody else's daughter, somebody else's wife. But you know what? That's the way the human mind works without Christ. And it can work that way in believers' minds too if we let it go crazy, right? But we have got to understand it. We got to do what Barney Fife said. We got to nip it in the bud, right? You can't let those thoughts continue. You got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, right? You got to bring them captive. And the only way you can stop those thoughts is through Christ, right? And I think the best way to do that is literally to memorize Scripture, because there is a verse over there I didn't get y'all to turn. I told you I was going to get you to turn there. But in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, and you can back up to verse 12 actually. It's a good verse. And remember, this is applying to believers. And in the whole section in chapter 10, he's talking about these Israelites that were in the wilderness and how they committed sexual idolatry and they got drunk and they did all these things. They were basically having this big orgy, and 23,000 people died because they complained and all of these things. And see, even complaining is a sin, right? Do you know worry is a sin? God says, do all things without worrying or complaining, right? We're to do that. You know what? That makes all of us sinners, right? So the only way we can get right with God is if we trust Christ, because he made provision for all of our sins. And that's why I always preach Christ and him crucified. So verse 12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You think, oh, I'm too strong. I'll never fall. I'll never go in that liquor store. I can keep walking by it. I can keep looking at it. I can even walk in the door. No, you can't. Some people might can. I knew a guy got saved. He was a pool shark and a drunk. And what did he do? He immediately got saved and walked back in the pool hall and began leading his old friends to Christ, right? He's a pastor today. But not everybody can do that, right? But verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Not a way, but the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And then he says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. What is idolatry? Anything that you love more than God, right?
Yeah.
You sacrifice to and far. You sacrificed your time all day to go find some drugs or find a woman or find this or find that. Or you sacrificed your money to spend it on something that you went and drank all night and you had $200 and now it's gone, right?
Yeah. Mm.
You just sacrifice that to that God of the bottle, you know, that spirits. Is there a reason they call them spirits? You know, when you get drunk, you know what happens? Or when you get high, the demons and the devil can take over your mind. You know, how in the world did I do that? Why did I do those things last night? Because you weren't in control. I wasn't in control. I remember those days. And he says, there's no temptation has overtaken you such as what? Common to man. That means there's nothing new under the sun. Do you know that the devil tries to separate us guys, especially us guys, because most of us are pretty prideful, I would say. And we think, oh, you know, I'm all right, you know. I know somebody that, well, I won't say that, but because somebody might hear what I'm saying. But I don't want that to get repeated. But the bottom line is there's nothing new under the sun, guys. Solomon, he had what? 300 wives and 700 concubines. He said he did not withhold anything from himself. He basically said that, how did he say it? He said, all is vanity. Without God, it's emptiness, it's vanity. There's nothing new under the sun. And he said, I tried it all. I did not withhold anything from myself. What does that mean? Solomon probably did it all because he was the king. He could do anything he wanted to, right? Yeah. Can anybody tell the king what they can do?
Nope.
Unless you want to lose your head, right? You want to die? Okay. Tell the king what he can and can't do. You what? Okay. Take him out and kill him right now. That's what they did, right? And so he says, all these things, there might be new ways to do it because we got computers and, you know, new forms of drugs and things like that. But drugs have always been around.
Yep.
I mean, they had these Bacchanalian feasts back in the old days. And these people dig a big old pit and get so drunk when they couldn't drink no more, they'd stick their finger in their throat and throw up in this pit and go get drunk some more. You know, throw up so they go drink some more, right? And they were just orgies and drunken festivals and all of these things. But he says, there's nothing new, but God is what? Faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. In other words, if you will trust in God, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, he will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. He says, therefore, flee idolatry. Flee from those things, right? Run. Remember what Joseph did?
Yep.
We'll talk more about this maybe next time. But remember Joseph, that woman, every day she came up to me. She flat out just said, lie with me. Now talk about hard to resist. This woman just walks up and grabs him and says, lie with me. Sleep with me. And he took off running. Left his coat. Ended up being locked up. I think her husband knew kind of how she was. Because I think otherwise he would have killed Joseph instead of throwing him into prison. Yeah. Unless it was just God protecting him. Because God did protect him. And you think about it, guys. All these temptations, all the things are there. But God will give us the way out if we will trust him. But we got to want the way out. But see, when we get over here back into James 1 where he says, when desire has conceived, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at that food and I'm thinking about it. Next thing you know, I got to have some of that fries and the burger or something, right? Because I'm sitting there thinking about it. Now you put that in the context of something else, wherever you got a problem or wherever I got a problem. And you take that and you say, okay, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and you know what happens? Get to the place where you don't care whether you do it or not, right? Some of the guys in here, they might not know this song, but what's the old song? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. So what happened? He's so wrapped up in that woman that if loving her is wrong, he don't care about being right, right? And that's what I'm talking about, guys. We get to that place like that shark when he goes crazy, or when that wolf is you know, he's just slapped crazy because he's tasting that blood, and then when he tastes that warm, hot blood, he's going crazy. And that's what we do is we go crazy, and we just, okay, God, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I don't care anymore. I done got so excited I can't hide it. I'm just about to lose my mind, and I think I like it, right? I mean, seriously, that's the way it goes. We get crazy because desire has conceived and it gives birth to sin. That's a picture of that, you know, the egg and the sperm when they meet. You got a little baby formed and then what happens? You're going to have birth, right? Yeah. And so when the mind and the body begin to get together and try to figure out how to do it, you know you're sunk. And I know I'm sunk when we start to try to figure out how to get away with it. Or how are we going to do it without getting caught? Or how are we going to do it and just whatever it may be, we're going to do it, right? How am I going to do this? That we're about lost at that point. And if we get to that point, most likely we're not going to cry out and say, oh God, deliver me. But he can. But most of the time when we get to that point, we're not going to care. We're just going to do it anyway, right? And so that sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death, back in James 1:15. So think about that. When sin is full grown, when that, we do it, right? We've done the deed. We've done it. It's got out of here and it's come out here. We've done it. And then when that sin has become full grown, it brings forth death. It could be physical death. It could be, ultimately, if you die without Christ, it's spiritual death, right? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment. And if we die without Christ, listen, like I said, you know, I grew up and for almost 30 years I believed that I was a pretty good guy and I was a pretty good fella, and because I'd been raised fairly moral, at least I thought I had anyway, that I was one day I was just going to join the church, get married, have kids, live happily ever after, and because I was a pretty good fella, I was going to go to heaven. That ain't the way it works, guys. One day God showed me, Marty, you're not a pretty good guy, you're a pretty bad guy. And when he showed me in the church that day, I just cried out and I said, oh God, that's what I need. I need Christ. Forgive me, save me, change me, because I can't do it on my own. And he did it that day. And he began to change me from the inside out. See, we try to do all these moral reforms. We go to programs and all these things, and we get our cards signed, and we go to the AA class and the NA class and the SA class and the whatever class, and we, you know, we just saying we killing time, right? That's what one guy told me in the jail one time. I think I heard it in here tonight. Got have something to do, right? But you know what? He says, I know all that. I said, well, why don't you put it into practice? He said, oh, I went to this class, I went to that class, I got the GED, I got the Bible class. I was just killing time because I was locked up in here. You know, I got to come to the program, so I'm going to come and get this class and get the card signed. And I'm going to go back to my room. And I didn't hear that, what that guy said. But see, when we live that way, we're destroying everything around us. We are. The Bible says, he who is not for Christ scatters, but he who is for him gathers. In other words, when we live the sinful life, when we don't live for God, when we live for ourselves, we're scattering, we're destroying, we're separating people and things and stuff. And that's how we get away from our families and our friends and, you know, loved ones and kids and all of these things. And we can get separated from everybody and get out there all by ourselves. And that's a dangerous place for anybody. You know, no man is an island. You know, what do? You take that little ember that's in the fire, and that thing pops out on the hearth on the fireplace, and what does it do? It immediately starts dulling out and going out, right? Put it over there near the fire, what does it do? It starts glowing again. And we need each other, guys. We need to be in a church. We need to be around godly people. We need to get around people who will bring us up to the next level. And we need to find somebody we can maybe bring up if we know the Lord. We have got to understand that if we're not living for the Lord and trying to do what's right, that we're just tearing things down all around us. And I remember those days. You mess up and then you do something more stupid because you messed up, and then you make an even bigger mess, right? Yeah. And before long you got a really big mess. And so he finishes over here and he says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. He's talking to believers, right? But what's he saying? He's saying, don't be deceived. And I'm saying to you tonight, whether you're a believer or not believer, I'm saying don't be deceived. The devil's going to deceive you. He's going to tell you, you know what, you just keep living the way you live and you all right, you're going to make it, you're going to be okay. And, you know, one day when you die, and then you go, now I got you. Because you're mine for eternity. Not literally his, but because he won't be the chief. I don't know where they came up with all these cartoons with everybody in the hell getting drunk and all having a party, and the devil's the chief partier, you know, and everybody's having a real good time. You know, the worst thing we can imagine, it's going to be like a picnic in the park compared to hell. And on the other side of it, the greatest thing we can imagine is going to be like nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. And so we need to understand that the devil wants to deceive us. He wants us to destroy our lives. He wants us to keep going down the roads we're going and living for the world and doing all those things. And, you know, I'm doing a devotional that I've written down, and it says, you know, he's talking about in the days of Noah and all that, how they were eating and drinking and being married and having children and all these things. And then here comes the flood, destroys them all, right? He says, and so as that day was, it's going to be again. And it's going to come suddenly. We're not even going to know it's going to happen. I could walk out of here, get in my car, and get killed out there on the highway. But I know the Lord, so I know where I'm going. But we could die in an instant, and we don't know. We say, oh, you know, I'll trust Christ, or I'll get right with the Lord or something before I die. Well, you don't know that you'll ever get that chance. You might be driving down the road. You might have a heart attack. You might just drop dead in your tracks. I mean, I know a guy, he didn't even have a heart condition that he'd ever known of, and bam, fell over dead. One of my best friends. He went to get some firewood for him and his wife because they could sit there and watch the stars and sit by the campfire. And he walked off and she went looking for him because he didn't come back. He was laying over there dead. Where he'd been bent over picking up sticks. I did his funeral 2.5 years ago. one of my best friends. But see, we don't know. But he says, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God is the one who brings good stuff. God is the holy, pure, righteous one. And he's the one that brings good stuff. And he says, every good gift. He's talking about the gift and the giver. God's good, right? And the gift is good. And I'm telling you guys, if you give up the life without Christ for him, he will give you something better in place of it. Because all that stuff just does not satisfy. What do? You get high all night? What you want? More. Have sex all night? What do you want? More. Get drunk all night? What do you want? More. And that's just the way it is. You look at a girl, you look at something, you see it, you want it, and you just keep looking and looking. Are you satisfied? No. You just want to keep looking and looking and looking. You're never satisfied. But that's why Jesus said he's the bread of life, the living water. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, never thirst again. The moment I trusted Christ, guys, that emptiness went away, that hole. Do you know, y'all know the great mathematician Pascal? Y'all ever heard that name? You probably won't ever hear this told by the secular people, the people that don't know the Lord. But he actually came up with a saying that says every woman, boy, and girl, man, woman, boy, and girl, has a God-shaped vacuum or a God-shaped hole where God fits. And the only person that can fill it is God. Maybe I don't know if I got my picture with me. I think I showed it when I was here the last time, but maybe you hadn't seen it, and I don't know if you can see it very well, but there's a picture of a woman with a hole where her heart's at, and she's got four little old birds in there, and they all got their mouth open saying, feed me, right? And up at the top, she wrote secretly, and down at the bottom, she wrote starving. And that's the best picture I've ever seen of a person without the Lord. Because she said, I kept drawing these pictures, and I didn't know why I drew these pictures. But when I got saved, I understood that there was a hole in my heart. There was a hole in my life where God fit. And when I put I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was looking for love and things and men and, you know, seeking satisfaction and getting high and drunk and all of those things. And none of those things satisfied. And I said, can I have a picture of that? That is the greatest picture I've ever seen of a person without the Lord. And until you know Christ, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be looking for love in all the wrong places. You're going to be looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. Because the only way you'll ever be satisfied, the only way you'll ever be whole, the only way you'll understand what life's really all about, guys, is if you trust Christ. And I promise you, if you'll put your trust in Christ and understand that the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one, absolutely no one, gets to heaven, the Father, without him. And he says the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, right? For our sins. That means everybody, right? And I already told you what a sin is, right? We've all sinned. We're all sinners, right? And what does that mean? It means all of us. The Bible says, you know, y'all know that verse, John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life, right? But the next verse says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. In other words, he didn't make up all them rules. Hey, Marty's having fun over there. Let me make up a rule to stop that. He didn't do that. But then the next verse says, but they would not come to God because their deeds were evil and they loved the darkness rather than the light. In other words, we love our sin more than we love God, and we don't want to give up our sin and trust Christ, so we will not come to him. But see, the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and then he rose again the third day. And when he rose from the grave, Romans 1 says he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has satisfied the demands of a holy God to pay for our sins. And that's why when he was on the cross, he said it's finished. That he paid for your sins, my sins, and the sins of everybody who's ever lived, ever has lived, ever will live. And then he died because he said, I've done it all. And then he died. And then he was buried, and he rose again. But when he rose from the grave, he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And when that happened, what he was doing was saying, not only can we our sins be forgiven, but we can be declared righteous, right in the eyes of God. And now we can approach God. Now we can come to God and boldly come before the throne to find mercy and grace and help in the time of need. See, I don't know about you, but I need somebody to love me at times. Because I'm going to let somebody down. My wife's going to let me down. People around us, they're going to let us down every time, right?
Yeah.
But you know who will never let you down?
God.
God will never let you down. And so, guys, what I'm telling you is we need somebody that's going to be there for us all the time. And if you don't know Christ today, you can be like that tax collector. You know, those old Pharisees said, man, I'm just a wonderful guy. You know, look at me. Wow, God, you know, ooh, don't you like me? Aren't you proud of me? And then the old tax collector, he knew he had a problem. And he just wouldn't even look up. And he said, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what mercy is, don't you?
Yeah.
Not getting what you deserve, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? God gives us grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. And what is that grace? He gives us heaven, and he gives us a taste of heaven here on earth. And then one day we get it all when we get to heaven. You know, I was going to say a while ago, we don't understand that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things will be added unto you. Do you know in heaven that all the stuff we're looking for, the gold and the silver and the money and the pearls and all those things, that's just building materials. The streets are going to be of gold. The buildings are going to be made of gold. There's going to be these humongous pearls that the gates are made of. And you might think I'm crazy, but I can tell you one thing. My life's a whole lot better than it used to be. And I know that God's real, because you just can't make up the stuff that God's done in my life, the things he showed me, the things he's just worked out in my life. And I'm not talking about health, wealth, prosperity. I'm just talking about just the way he's worked and just done things. And I could sit here all night and tell you stories of how God has just showed me things and done incredible things and moved in places that I just had no way I could move, but he did it. And like I said, it's not about health, wealth, and prosperity, but it's about trusting him and understanding what life's about, guys. And getting rid of all of these things in our lives that hold us back from being what we ought to be. You know, the service says if you want to be, join the army or whatever, if you want to be all you can be. Well, let me tell you whose army you need to join if you want to be all you can be. God's army. That's the only army that you can be all you can be. So I'm begging you guys, if you don't know Christ, ask him to forgive you tonight. Ask him to save you. And I'd love to hear if you did that tonight. Or if you don't understand, I'll stay as long as you need me to talk to you. I'll be glad to sit down and talk with you some more, answer any questions I can. If I can't answer them, I'll try to go home and find the answers for you, right? But let's pray, and then right where you're at, if you don't know Christ, ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you. Ask him to come into your life and change you and make you into the person he wants you to be. Because I know if you think about it, and you're not saved, you know deep down inside you got problems that you can't fix. You've got a life that's messed up, and you need a Savior who can help you to change. Because the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. All things are new. He changes us from the inside out. Lord, I just pray right now. Thank you for all of these guys that are here, and just ask that you would work mightily in all of our hearts here tonight. If there's one that doesn't know you tonight, I pray that they would just cry out right now and say, oh, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. And the Bible says we're saved by faith, by grace, through faith. So that they would just believe and take you at your word, because you said whoever calls on your name shall be saved. So, Lord, they would take you at your word and believe that that death, that burial, and that resurrection was enough, and that they're sinners and they need a Savior. do that tonight. For those other guys here that already know you, Lord, I pray that they would just continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they're not fully trusted in you, Lord, that they would fully trust in you every single minute of every single day, Lord, so that we might understand the fullness of God and get all the what you want for us to have in this life, and to understand what life's really about, Lord, and to be a vessel that you want to use in other people's lives. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Well, God bless y'all. It was good being with y'all tonight. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.